showbiz intro at 8:11 for Dean Richards Entertainment Report. Good morning, Dean.
Because I also have some razzmatazz for you today.
You always do.
Whatever that is.
And you had a nice conversation with David Schwimmer, we hear.
Well, actually, Seth Meyers had a nice conversation with David Schwimmer. I enjoyed watching it.
it's close enough.
Yeah, it was just pretty much the same. You know, the guys that were talking about Schwimmer's new Apple TV show that he's got on. But the conversation came back to the Chicago-ness that they both have in common.
Colbert, you, myself, our other guest tonight, Robin Thede, all graduates of Northwestern University. I know I've talked about it before. You spoke at my graduation. And I know that's like there's a good and bad to that because, one, I feel like I'm age-shaming you. But, two, you gave the best commencement speech. The best commencement speech I've ever... I mean, I haven't heard that many, but it was outstanding. So right out of college, did you... I know Looking Glass is your theater company in Chicago. Was that right out of college that you started that?
Yeah, we started upon graduation, actually, from Northwestern, maybe because we just didn't want... We were too scared to enter the real world. But and then I started to bounce back between auditioning for TV and film in L.A., and commuting to Chicago. The first time I actually saw myself on television on the Wonder Years, I was waiting table. I was on my shift, and one of my buddies, another waiter, you know, pointed out to the television that we had over the bar, at the bar area of the restaurant. He said, "Schwimmer, you're on TV." You know, and I looked at like, yeah. Then I turned back to my table, and it's like, "Do you want blue cheese or Thousand Island?"
I love that. I love that.
It's very humbling.
You think these guys, you know, they instantly have stardom. But guys like Schwimmer were waiters. Steve Carell. Famously has told me that he was one of the waiters when they opened the Hard Rock Cafe downtown.
Wow.
That he was one of the waiters there. You know, so everyone's got a story like that. Mine goes back to the A&P grocery store in Hyde Park when I was a kid. Now, you started when, like, you're 10 years old, you started working at radio stations. Did you ever have another job besides radio or TV?
I was an NBC page in my last year in high school. I did that, and then I had a paper route for about 20 minutes one time. And what else did I do? The good humor man in our neighborhood gave me a box of ice cream bars to take to the old men in the park who were playing cards and sell bars.
Did it make it there?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did.
One for the old men in the park, one for Bob.
That's it. Let's talk about Taylor Swift. Why is she apologizing?
Well, she is apologizing and actually has some action. You know, we played that clip from her brand new album the other day. Now the album is breaking all kinds of records. The album is called Folklore. And it turns out that the logo for this album, Folklore, is very, very similar to the logo for a fashion website called The Folklore. And so the owner of this fashion company tweeted out a note to Taylor Swift. It's like, come on, you're taking the name of my company and stealing my logo. So she just put that out there in social media. But Taylor Swift and her people responded. They changed the logo for any new merchandise that's going out. They didn't exactly change the name of the album, but they did. Instead of the album being called The Folklore, which is the same as this fashion retailer, it's now called just simply Folklore. So she did take steps to change things and make things right. The CEO of the fashion retailer said that, you know, she appreciates that Taylor Swift acted quickly on this and says it's a great first step. We're in conversation now about next steps to make the situation right. So I imagine a few dollars may change hands with all this as well.
Yeah, and I wonder if a few dollars will change hands in this lawsuit that Ashley Judd's got against Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, but it looked like this lawsuit wasn't even going to take place at first. Ashley Judd originally had filed a sexual harassment lawsuit against Harvey Weinstein, but yesterday a federal appeals court ruled that this case can move forward. She is accusing him of coercing her into massaging him and watching him take a shower. She says that after that, he hurt her career by telling people that she was difficult to work with. Now, a lower court threw out the harassment part of this lawsuit, but now this appeals court ruled that it can go back in and is actionable under California law. So in addition to the charges that Weinstein is facing right now for criminal sexual assault, this will lay on top of that and be tried separately. Just, you know, for the record, he's denying all the allegations against him.
Talking with Dean Richards, this is sad news about the roots musician, isn't it?
Yeah, he's one of the pioneers of hip-hop music, really. Malik B is how fans know him. He is Malik Abdul Basset, who has been one of the co-founders of the roots that you see doing the music on Jimmy Fallon. Cause of death not released. He was only 47 years old. Questlove and Black Thought released a statement saying, "May he be remembered for his devotion to Islam, his loving brotherhood, and his innovation as one of the most gifted MCs of all time." So it's a big loss in hip-hop music.
Yeah, for sure. There's another story in the news today about musicians protesting the use of their music in political campaigns. We hear about this all the time. And does it ever really work? I mean, the cease and desist, these protests go on, but it seems like the political campaigns continue to use this music, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems like they are just continuously ignored, the cease and desist orders. And you know, the artists that have been affected by this, Neil Young, the Rolling Stones, Elton John, you know, they are you know, kind of putting out a warning before they actually file legal action against the politicians who have been doing this. Most notably, it's been the Trump campaign that's been using artist music without permission. It's against the law. You're not supposed to do that. You know, they've been warned with these cease and desist orders. So yesterday, a letter was sent by 50 musicians sent out to both the Democratic and Republican parties to stop using music for political purposes without permission. The letter was signed by Elton John, all of the Rolling Stones, Aerosmith, Lionel Richie, the group Linkin Park, Green Day, Elvis Costello, John Mellencamp, Lord, Cyndi Lauper. There's a long, long list of artists who are all participating in this. And, you know, the letter is basically saying that it's inappropriate to use this music because it implies that the artist supports a particular candidate or platform over another. And that's why permission should be, you know, given. And when you're, you know, when you're using somebody else's music for anything, whether it's radio or TV or music used in a public place or music you hear in a store when you walk in, a restaurant, you're supposed to pay for all that. It's the property of the musicians and the writers. So we'll see if this puts any teeth into it and it stops happening, or if politicians are just going to continue to ignore this.
We'll see. And now on to Dean Richards' Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, and we have a house for sale to report.
You know, anytime I can help, you know, poor celebrities try to sell their modest properties, I always give it a shot. Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez have listed this cozy little charming five-bedroom, four-and-a-half-bath home that they have. Oh, yeah, it's oceanfront property in Malibu, by the way. J-Lo once described this house as a fixer-upper when they first bought it a year ago, and it's been completely rehabbed now. 4,400 square feet on three levels. It has a 50-foot private oceanfront, beachfront real estate section to it. The asking price on this, a very modest $7.9 million. They bought it from Evanston's own Jeremy Piven for $6.6 million just a year ago. So, you know, if they come close to their asking price on this, they're going to make $1 million plus in a year. Poor J-Lo, poor A-Rod. You know, once they get rid of this, they're going to have to figure out where to live.
Well, they've only probably got about eight other homes.
Another home in Miami, another home in the Hamptons, another home in Bel Air, and another in Encino, California, for some reason.
How do you keep that straight? I mean, I look at the pile of bills I have in the house and trying to keep up with things. And how do you do that when you have all those houses? I guess you have staff to do that, right?
I guess so. I don't imagine either of those two are doing any dusting or cleaning or bill paying themselves.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Tracy Morgan, we've got a report on his love life here. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm sad to hear the story. After 5 years of marriage, Tracy Morgan has announced that his wife, Megan, and he will be filing for divorce. This is, I mean, it's a significant story. Something obviously happened in the relationship, but she was the one who was there for Tracy after he got into that terrible car-truck accident back in 2012. In fact, Megan Walliver is her name, said at the time, after almost losing Tracy last year, "I'm grateful to finally be married to the love of my life. We've been through so much, and our love is stronger for it." And then shortly after that, Tracy was going on all the talk shows talking about how much, what a great support his wife was, what great help she was to him in his recovery. He's saying, "I live every day trying to do right by her." So we don't know what's happened in their relationship. Frankly, it's their business, not ours. But marriage is breaking up. They do have a 7-year-old daughter, unfortunately. Unfortunately, that the marriage is breaking up.
Right. And on a happy note here, it's a happy birthday to the great Buddy Guy, a young 84. And was it yesterday that it was Norman Lear's 98th birthday?
98 years old. He's the greatest guy. He was here in Chicago about a year or so ago. I had the honor of hosting a Q&A with him at the Music Box Theater. He's sharp. He's with it. He's hilarious. He's still prolific after all of the groundbreaking shows that he created over the years, still working on great projects. But here's what I love, a 98-year-old guy who's on Instagram. He posted...
Oops. Did we just lose Dean's connection?
Some thoughts about turning 98 years old.
Oh, here's Norman.
Good morning. So this is the day after my 98th birthday. It was my birthday yesterday. I'm into my 99th year, and it feels remarkably like my 98th year, which felt remarkably like my 89th year. And I realized, you know, I'm not concerned about the going. I just don't like the leaving. And yesterday so solidified that, because I was with all my 6 kids and grandkids, and surrounded by all the love I receive, all the love I feel, and leaving is hard. The thought of leaving is hard. But the adventure of going remains to be seen. I'll get back to you.
Yeah, so we'll stand by for updates.
That's fantastic. But he doesn't sound, act, or look like anybody near 98.
I know, and it's really quite thoughtful. I'm not concerned about the going. I just don't want to. I don't want to be part of the leaving.
Yeah.
Of missing his loved ones and not being around, watching his grandchildren growing up and so forth. It's really quite profound.
Yeah, I asked him when I saw him in town here a couple of years ago. I said, "What is your secret? I mean, how do you do this? How do you stay so young and mentally and physically active and with it at 98?" And you know what? I'll never forget what he said. He looked at me and he said, it was at a luncheon, and he said, "You know what I do? I'm here now. I'm talking to you. I'm having a good time. All I'm thinking about is this luncheon and what I'm doing and what I'm feeling now. I'm not thinking about what happened yesterday or what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm just really present.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool.
That's great advice. That's, very profound advice. Norman Lear famously would hang out with Carl Reiner, who just passed away, but also Dick Van Dyke, who I believe is 94, and Mel Brooks, who is, I believe, 92. You know, so these guys would just get together and make each other laugh and goof around like, four schoolboys.
Like that.
And you got to figure that helps to keep them young.
Yeah, and what will keep us young, Dean, is hanging around old guys like that. That makes you feel much younger. You know what I mean?
I love hanging around guys like that. You learn a lot.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.